This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's Tuesday, which means I will be joined during the first hour by Rob Regish as we deliver the Blueprint Power Hour, where Rob answers your questions about training, nutrition, supplements, and anything that you have a question about. You can send questions for Rob Regish to onair@superhumanradio.com. Then during the second hour, we'll be joined by Dr. Joel Finkelstein. While we talk about the role of estrogen in men, you know, lots of supplements talk about diminishing estrogen and while raising testosterone, but not enough is discussed about how estrogen is good for men as well, and we'll be talking about that during the second hour. How you doing, Rob Regish?
Doing great, man. Doing great. How about you?
I trained legs today for the first time since my hamstring injury. And,
yeah.
You know, it's been well over a month that I've taken off, so I didn't go in there and I didn't act foolish. But I did do leg presses with about 900 pounds. They were pretty easy. Did not notice anything different about the left leg and the right leg. I did high leg presses too to get the hamstrings involved.
Yeah.
I did stiff leg deadlifts with 135. Did not notice anything about the left hamstring. I did hip thrusts. Went all the way up to 315 with hip thrusts. Very, very easy work. I mean, just so far, I don't notice anything. I do think that if I were to try to deadlift, I would notice it, but I may just move to the trap bar deadlift, and I think that would take more off of my hamstrings and put it on my my quads and my glutes and my hips instead.
Now, did I hear correctly, you are not going to have surgery?
Yeah, we talked about it on a show recently, the Get Strong Show with Wade Johnson. It was a very emotional decision for me because I struggled with the idea that I would never be able to. The injury that I have, both two doctors told me this is, if you're a professional athlete, this is a career-ending injury. Even with surgery, your career is over because you'll never, ever be able to perform the way you did before. And even this doctor said, even if we attach these muscles back to the bone, you could get into the gym 2 years from now deadlifting and start going heavy again and rip them right off again.
Wow.
And so, you know, I had to make peace with the fact that an end of an era has occurred, but it's pushing me in a new direction, and I'm embracing it. I got to be honest with you. But it was very emotional for me, and I actually got emotional on the show with Wade, and I felt like a real dork. But you know what? That is exactly how I feel about it and how I felt about it. I mean, I cried two nights in a row when I made the decision not to get the surgery. I just felt sick to my stomach. I thought, oh, my God. You know, I'm never, ever going to be in those particular moves – movements as strong as I have been in the past. But you know what? You just move past it. You got to move past it.
Like you said, you know, new direction. It's probably a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, there you go. But anyway, we have a great show planned today. We've got lots of great questions. We have to start off with the first question, which is submitted by Adam Bedo. I think that's the way you pronounce your name, Adam. B-E-D-E-U-X. It may be Bedo. He says, hey, Rob, what do you think the best liver protection on the market is? I'm thinking about bulking up with some pro-hormone cycles and concerned about liver toxicity you spoke about last week. Seems to be the number one concern on the boards, too. Thanks, and I love the show.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, Adam, just a word on blood work. Typically, folks look at AST and ALT values, and those are often incorrectly used as diagnostic numbers to look at insofar as liver health is concerned. They're actually crude markers of tissue damage, and they're usually elevated in athletes, especially athletes that train.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what you really want to look at is bilirubin and alkaline phosphates. If those numbers are out of range, your liver likely isn't functioning functioning optimally. So having said that, the best liver protectants, in my opinion, are as follows. One is TUDCA, T-U-D-C-A.
Is that, is that an acronym for something, or is that really what it's called?
Yeah, no, it's an acronym for something or other.
Okay, I got you.
It's an acronym for a reason. But it's a bile acid, and it improves bile flow in the liver, keeps it functioning. R-alpha-lipoic acid is another one. That would be my second. Third would be N-acetylcysteine, which we've discussed many times on the show. And finally, sesamin, which I think is really overlooked. TUDCA is without question the best and should be considered your first line of defense. Now, R-alpha-lipoic acid and N-acetylcysteine both build glutathione and can help repair a damaged liver. Important to point out, though, about NAC, you don't want to go too high on the dosing, as it can become a pro-oxidant.
That study was never, ever duplicated, just for the record. We had a guy come on the show once talking about N-acetylcysteine for autism patients, and we talked about that, and he said that study has never ever been duplicated, and that is not that it's an error to think that it could become a pro oxidant at higher levels. Now I don't know.
Wow.
You just weigh it out however you want, but I know.
Yeah.
What you're talking about, because I said the same thing to him. I said too much is no good, and he goes, well, actually that study was never duplicated, and quite to the contrary, many studies show higher doses work even better. So there you go.
Well, maybe it might be worth experimenting
there
with.
You go.
Sesamin is the sleeper, and it's a real shame it's not used more frequently, because it benefits nearly every bodily function, but especially blood lipids and keeping your HDL in check. Bad cholesterol profiles, elevated liver enzymes, and methylated prohormones, those usually go hand in hand, and sesamin does a great job at addressing all of those. Finally, I would be remiss not to mention cardio, because much of the damage done by prohormones isn't just to the liver, but to your cardiovascular system. Last week I mentioned how carrying excess body weight and or body fat can raise blood pressure and increase mortality or the risk of dying. So whenever you embark on, you know, on one of these bulking programs, you want to aggressively pursue your cardiovascular conditioning before taking it. It's an absolute necessity. Especially if prohormones are in the mix. Keep the pipes in good working order. It's only going to benefit you, not just health-wise, but it's going to improve your results in terms of fat loss, your work capacity in the gym, etc. So it'll also keep the silent killer in check, blood pressure.
Yeah.
So I hope that helps.
Let's go ahead and get to the next question and take a little longer on this segment. The next question comes from Richard Clark. He says, hey, Rob, do you happen to know if GABA can really boost GH? If so, how do I use it, and does it really build muscle or help stripping body fat?
Yeah, GABA, gamma-aminobutyric acid, it's an isolated amino acid that has some decent science behind it that, yes, it does, in fact, raise GH. In fact, researchers at Shenandoah University showed that a pre-workout dose of 3 grams boosted GH levels no less than 480%, and that was further shown to be biologically active GH. And the kicker from that study was this. The average age of those guys was just 23.
Yeah, so they weren't old fossils who weren't producing growth hormone anymore.
Yeah. Now, there's some evidence out of Italy that a pre-bedtime dose of 5 grams can raise GH by 550%.
Actually, that study showed a dose-dependent 3 grams by 300%, 4 grams by 400%, and 5 grams by 500%. So it's a dose-dependent basis. But there is a point of diminishing returns. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, it makes you wonder where it is.
Yeah.
For the record, I do not think that these transient surges in GH necessarily translate to quick gains in more muscle and less fat. Over time, though, I am convinced that they do. And they're gold insofar as healing injuries, skin, and connective tissue. The cliff notes on GABA are very simple. You always want to use it on an empty stomach such that it crosses the blood-brain barrier. And for sleep, it should be taken about 30 minutes prior. Training-wise, about 15 to 20 minutes before your warm-ups with some caffeine, if drowsiness is an issue, and it typically is because GABA is an inhibitory neurotransmitter. And you want to go slow. Introduce GABA in 1 gram increments. I especially like keeping some by the bathroom sink. Right? If I get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, then 5 grams of GABA goes down the hatch. That puts me back to sleep fast, and it adds another big boost to GH output over any given 24-hour period. It's economical, it's effective, and in my opinion, it's worth its weight in gold, if only for the deep, refreshing sleep that it imparts.
Okay, here's my 2 cc's. 2 to 4 milligrams of CJC 1295 a week, concert with GHRP 6 in the morning, GHRP 2 before bed, 250 micrograms of GHRP 6 and or GHRP 2. You will raise growth hormone levels significantly, effectively, and meaningfully. You will see changes in your body within about 5 to 6 weeks. 2 to 4 milligrams of CJC 1295 DAC with the drug affinity complex injected weekly, and a morning 250 micrograms of GHRP6, because that elicits cortisol and hunger too, so you'll be ready to eat your first meal. Before bed, 250 micrograms of GHRP2, because it does not elicit cortisol elevation, so you'll sleep good. In my humble opinion, those will produce very, very meaningful rises in growth hormone, and 20% off when you use the coupon code SHR at Superior Hardcore Peptides. Go to the banner ad at Supreme Radio. Okay, shameless plug, but hey, what are you going to do? It's true. It's stuff really works. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we've got a question. I believe the next question comes from Richard Clark. No, I apologize. We asked, I think the next one comes from Tracy Nelson. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Blueprint Power Hour, brought to you by the Blueprint. Sign up for the Blueprint Bulletin today and get the Blueprint 3.0 for free. It doesn't get better than that. Go to superhumanradio.com. We'll be right back.
Not only does he poke holes in corporate lies, he tears them a new one.
All of the associated companies that say that the GMO labeling is unfair to them cite that it would cost too much money to change the label on the box. But meanwhile, they spend millions and millions fighting labeling. Why don't they just use that money to label the boxes?
His name is Carl Lenore.
And keep in mind, Madeira, the province of Portugal, Switzerland, India, and Thailand have all banned, B-A-N-N-E-D, the sale and growth of genetically modified foods in their countries because they prefer to wait for more research to come out before they subject their citizens to it.
On Superhuman Radio.
Everybody deserves to know what they're eating. This is nonsense.
Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the Superhuman Nation talk about how much they love Aura MD. Carl and Elisa won't brush with anything else. Now get a free bottle of Aura MD and see what all the excitement's about. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aura MD banner ad today. You cover shipping and we'll give you a free bottle for first-time customers only. What are you waiting for? The best toothpaste alternative is just a click away.
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. Whey Natural USA. Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, leave.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Sorry if I sounded rushed there, but I was just trying to stay on the clock here. I swear I'm not snorting craze today. Tracy Nelson says, I've tried squats and I have issues with them all, even box squats. My problem is leaning forward too much and my knees hurt, even when box squatting. I'm just not coordinated enough to perform Russian step-ups, and I've heard you suggest those before, and I can't get the hang of Bulgarian split squats. Any suggestions?
Yeah, there's always a way to squat. And Dan John, long ago, introduced us to something known as the goblet squat.
Yeah.
So named after the position in which the weight is held. Here's how you perform it, and it's a great exercise because it auto-corrects the biggest issues seen with squats due to the unique setup. You hold the weight against your chest, just under your chin. With a dumbbell, for example, hold one end heads up vertically between your palms. Position your feet so your stance is a bit more than shoulder width, and then sit back and down between the knees, keeping your chest up the entire time. Go as low as you can while keeping your feet flat on the floor, because if your heels come up, your stance is probably too narrow. At the bottom, brush, and this is the key, brush your elbows against the inside of your legs, pushing your knees out. And the knees out part of that movement is the key, and it's what really differentiates it from so many other squat variations. Here's the bottom line. A lot of people underestimate this movement. In fact, a lot of heavy barbell squatters will completely dismiss it, thinking it's, you know, for chicks. Nothing could be further from the truth. You try it with a 100-pound dumbbell. You'll find out the following right quick. You get a huge pump in the legs, no more aching knees, and it's a fantastic conditioning exercise. You know, knocking out 15, 20 reps with a heavy weight feels like you just did back-to-back wind sprints. So give that a shot, Tracy. I think you'll find it an ideal solution.
I love the goblet squat, by the way. It's a fantastic movement to and not only learn how to squat properly, but to also stretch. You can really get ass to ankles, like a lot of people talk about in the goblet squat. The next one comes from Panos Antonakos. He says, hey, I'm looking for natural anti-inflammatories and have heard you discuss curcumin, cissus, and others. Is there anything new that you've come across?
Yeah, in fact, there are two that I'm hearing a lot of good things about, and I'm pretty excited, too. The first is Actistatin by the folks who brought us GLC 2000, and the second is black cumin seed oil. Now, with respect to Actistatin, it's brand new. I'm not sure it's available yet to the public, but it promises to be the next category killer in terms of anti-inflammatories. And given GLC 2000's track record, that's certainly one that you're going to want to keep your eye on. It appears to build on their high-dose, highly bioavailable glucosamine chondroitin approach while incorporating other goodies, all wrapped up into a drug-like delivery system. I have a good friend that just started it, so I should have more info to share in a few weeks. She's got a bad rotator cuff injury. Black cumin seed oil, on the other hand, is also emerging as the next big thing in anti-inflammatories, although it's not exactly new. The oil that's extracted from black cumin seeds contains a variety of compounds, all of which have potent anti-inflammatory properties. of those compounds, though, something called thymoquinone is the best understood and thought to work in the following fashion. It suppresses the activity of the master inflammatory regulators, NF-kappa-B36. It inhibits enzymes such as 5-LOX and COX-1 that cause inflammation. It reduces production of a compound called 5-HETE, which is a precursor to inflammatory molecules, and it reduces the production of inflammatory chemicals while boosting anti-inflammatories. The last point may explain why it works better and faster than most products on the market. You wind up attacking inflammation from two different angles, reducing chemicals that cause inflammation and increasing production of anti-inflammatory compounds, the interleukins. I have a trusted friend that's using it now. He suffers from severe arthritis, and he absolutely swears by it. Starts every day with a morning swig of it. And then shortly, you know, right after he gets up, in other words, you know, if you're interested in pursuing black cumin seed oil, visit theblessedseed.com for more information. They have some great info there on it. And their product, from what I've heard and the people that I've spoken to that have used it, is top shelf. So, yeah, that and Actistatin are the two new ones that I'm hearing a lot of great things about.
Yeah. Okay, the next question comes from Paul Bosch. He says, I love tuning in every Tuesday. I've gotten to thinking about my long-term prospects the other day after you mentioned lifting for life. My question is, do you think bodybuilding, powerlifting, bodyweight training, or some other type is the best route? I want to train for the rest of my life, but I'm confused on finding an approach that suits me.
Yeah, I'm really glad somebody asked this, because the answer is you want to look into all of them. You know, training disciplines like this should be viewed as a menu, and there are facets of each that are going to expand your knowledge base. I've always said bodybuilders can learn a lot from powerlifters about training. And on the flip side of that coin, powerlifters can learn a lot from bodybuilders about diet. Olympic lifting probably has the shortest longevity span to it, given the explosive nature of the movements. You know, they're hard on the body. But what you will gain from Olympic lifting is a deep appreciation for the skill that is moving the barbell. You'll gain a razor-sharp central nervous system and a lot of explosive strength, too. My views on body weight training, those are well known. It is likely the method that will benefit you the most, especially as the years roll by. If I had to do it over again, I wouldn't have changed a thing, because when I was young and strong, I learned, you know, I built a base on powerlifting, and later I dieted down to a very low body fat percentage to better understand what bodybuilders go through. But as an ectomorph, I didn't care for that much, because I didn't like feeling skinny and weak. Still, you're going to learn a lot about what it's like to chase down those last few pounds of body fat. It's both an art and a science. I did dabble in Olympic lifting, but always felt powerlifting offered more, so I stuck with that. And when I came across Power Building by Sean Phillips, it just suited me perfectly. The reason was it was something that contained elements of each, powerlifting and bodybuilding, that gave you just hellacious strength with a slant towards keeping your body fat in check year-round. It was exactly what I was looking for, and I suspect the same holds true for a lot of people. A hybrid approach is best. You know, why not take the best from each discipline? This makes sense to me. When your back can't take it anymore, you know, the heavy pounding, the body weight training is a blast. Believe me.
When you start shearing muscles off of bones.
Yeah, when you start ripping hamstrings off and visiting surgeons. Yeah. In faraway places, it's time to change
your training style. So, I agree. I got to tell you something. I've adapted a new training style. It's more bodybuilding style, but I am still adhering to heavy resistance movements, and I feel great these days. I got to be honest with you. So
anyway. Yeah,
I think that's how you know when you find something that works for you. When you leave the gym feeling like King Kong, it's working. When you leave the gym feeling like I'm afraid to come back here tomorrow, it's not working.
Yeah. You know, you got to keep searching. The last point I'll drill home is this. Keep on asking, and you'll get answers. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. And keep on seeking. You will find.
Yeah.
Keep looking, Paul.
All right, let's go to this next question from Mike Grady. He says, hey, Rob, I'm using Synthogen and doing great with it. I take 7 caps pre-workout, 7 post. Nothing I've used, including pro hormones, has recovered me this fast. Don't know if you can talk about this, but what ingredients do you feel is most responsible? Congrats again on the product. I wish I hadn't waited so long to take it. Do I need to cycle off? That's another
question.
Yeah,
I get that question a lot. Well, I appreciate your feedback, Mike. You know, the product, Synthogen, hasn't been out there for 2 years, but it's built a very loyal following. For one simple reason, it works. Your first question is difficult to answer, but I'll do my best here. I don't feel any one ingredient is responsible. However, I would draw your attention to TMG, or trimethylglycine, because the research on TMG goes back many years, and it first caught my eye when farmers were using it to improve body composition in their livestock, right, when they brought the animals to market. Subsequently, I found a UConn graduate student's thesis that was looking at adult human subjects, and my curiosity just took off. There was a study published recently in the International Society of Sports Nutrition. It found bodybuilders using 2.5 grams of TMG a day for 6 weeks improved their body composition. At the end of those 6 weeks, they lost a couple percent body fat, but more importantly, increased their muscle mass, which was an impressive recomp effect. That may go, you know, the next curious part of that study result, rather, may go back to the training protocol, but the DEXA scans that they ran showed that they happened to grow more muscle in their upper arms. And while I was aware of that when formulating Synthogen, I was actually looking for something different, something that would amplify and extend protein synthesis. It's one thing to be right in the state of positive nitrogen balance, but it's quite another keep that up over an extended period of time. That's really where the money is. TMG effectively does that through multiple pathways, but for my money, it's the fact that it's a superb methyl donor in the liver. And those methyl groups contribute mightily to more RNA being available and thus protein synthesis. So, you know, it's in there for that reason, but it also adds the punch of increased GH, IGF-1, and lower cortisol. You don't need to cycle off of it, given it functions as a non-hormonal. It doesn't disrupt any bodily functions. What you may want to do is load one bottle by taking it every day, then reserve the second bottle for training days only. That's a popular cycle for guys who just pick up their twin pack every couple months. It'll also help stretch your supply. It's a great strategy for Synthogen fans that are using it over the long haul. So I hope that helps, Mike.
I'm surprised that you didn't talk about Synthogen as an anti-inflammatory. You get a lot of comments from people that I've witnessed that since they've been taking Synthogen, a lot of their aches and pains go away. I mean, this is kind of going back to the previous question, but
It does so many different things well. You know, with respect to inflammation, if you're really targeting it, then I would say there are maybe better things. But as a you know, jack of all trades, Synthogen is just, it's fantastic. It will greatly mitigate inflammation, especially post-workout in the days that follow.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got more to talk about with Rob Regish right now. And this is the Blueprint Power Hour, brought to you by the Blueprint and the Blueprint Bulletin. If you sign up for the Blueprint Bulletin, you automatically get for free the Blueprint 3.0 plus the add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout, plus a special gift from Rob. I've heard it's a picture of him in a Eugene Sandow-esque pose with a modest sized fig leaf covering up his genitalia. So you don't want to miss that opportunity. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today and get on board. Find out what other people already know. The best and fastest way to build muscle. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Carl Lenore.
I want to live longer. I want to be stronger. I want to be healthier. And I want everybody to come along.
Calling out the daytime television quacks.
I want to see Dr. Oz do those things in the gym. He's out there telling people how to be stronger, be healthier, look better, live longer. Let's see him put himself to the test. Let's see any of these people do the things that we do in this audience here.
Motivating the people.
We are the true superhuman.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
A special offer from Rob Rangish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to the BlueprintBulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about the importance of estrogen in men, something that I've known about for a very, very long time. I'll talk more about this at the end of the show after Rob delivers the blueprint tip of the day. But we'll be talking with Dr. Joel Finkelstein. The guys always want to eradicate estrogen. Very, very dangerous mentality. Okay, Rob, what is the blueprint tip of the day, my brother?
I am excited for this one. The tip of the day has to do with red yeast rice.
I remember this stuff.
For muscle damage.
Mm.
So one of the established mechanisms of muscle growth is a certain level of damage to the fibers. And that in turn causes the classic, let's say, DOMS or delayed onset muscle soreness effect. The next step in that chain of events is for the fibers to then grow back larger, thicker, and stronger, provided enough recovery time is allowed to elapse. Now, what if there was something that increased muscle damage in some cases doing so even in the absence of training. It would stand to reason that muscle growth would be even greater. While it turns out, the most effective naturally occurring statin, red yeast rice, contains a compound called lovastatin, which has been shown to increase markers of muscle damage, both following training versus controls and in the absence of training. If that sounds familiar, it's the same premise, or close to it, behind X factor, or arachidonic acid. All over the web, reports of localized muscle inflammation and much greater delayed onset muscle soreness are reported by those using it, that being X factor. Now, some folks feel that arachidonic acid conveys a greater risk of cancer and other issues, inflammatory-related issues. For the record, I don't share those concerns, particularly when it's used short-term, and that's backed up by some studies. But I wanted to bring something to the table that caused the same sort of muscle damage effects, I'll call them, while having a healthy upside to it. So it begs the question, red yeast rice, what is it? It's been used for decades to combat poor cholesterol profiles, and you've probably overlooked it because it's marketed to the health and wellness crowd versus, you know, people that train with weights. The lovastatin therein and other prescription statin drugs inhibit cholesterol synthesis by blocking the action of a certain enzyme. As a consequence, circulating total cholesterol and LDL, or the bad cholesterol, is lowered. In fact, in a meta-analysis of 91 randomized clinical trials, totaling 68,000-plus participants, LDL cholesterol was lower by anywhere from 24 to 49%, depending on the statin. And that's an important health benefit, particularly if you have a family history of high cholesterol, which brings us to the clues that steroids leave. We know from the research I cited that red yeast rice increases muscle damage, in some cases even in the absence, complete absence of training. If that doesn't impress you, consider this. You can't claim the same for arachidonic acid, nor any other legal substance I can think of. What is little known or discussed is that steroids accelerate muscle tissue breakdown, but also, of course, buildup. Now, obviously, they stimulate the latter more than the former, and the net result is more muscle. The point being, increasing muscle damage sets in motion a cascade of bodily reactions that upregulates muscle growth. So if we put two and two together, a powerful new strategy comes to mind. Red yeast rice paired with something that helps the muscle recover dramatically faster, in my opinion, either Synthogen or Tranquilogen. Here's the rationale for that stack. We know steroids increase both the breakdown and the buildup of muscle. We further know that because buildup exceeds breakdown, the end result is more muscle. The key is amplifying the growth signal, then milking it for all it's worth. We can do that now with this stack. A simple one-on, two-off training frequency will yield twice as much time growing versus breaking down muscle, so we'll use that as our baseline. Now we layer in red yeast rice on training days, pre-workout, and Synthogen or Tranquilogen on off days, and you wind up magnifying the upsides of each. Now, Synthogen's ability to rapidly recover you from training is well known, so I'm just going to cite one example for Tranquilogen. The number one ingredient in Tranquilogen is curcuma. Three caps give her, you know, they deliver a full gram of the stuff along with the other goodies. According to at least one animal study done at Emory University, curcumin sped up muscle recovery five times faster than placebo. Either product, Synthogen or Tranquilogen, should contribute to the slingshot effect that I'm proposing coming off your training day. So, which brings me to dosing and general use guidelines. The amount of red yeast rice typically used in trials, clinical trials, is 1,200 to 2,400 milligrams a day. I would suggest on training days a dose of about 2,000 milligrams be taken 90 minutes prior to the workout. On off days, I would suggest consuming 5 caps of Synthogen just prior to your 3 biggest meals of the day, or 3 caps of Tranquilogen. The one-on, two-off training frequency is important, so make sure to stick to it and dose each product on its dedicated day. Here's the bottom line. This new strategy of catabolic, anabolic amplification leverages the same mechanism seen with anabolics. And no, I wouldn't expect to see the same dramatic results, but yes, I fully expect people will get better results than they're getting now. A lot better. It's never been attempted before, but I am very excited about its potential because for years I have been searching for a healthy compound that increases muscle damage to pair with Synthogen. And it appears that day is here. If you want better results, you need to think outside the box, and that is exactly what I'm proposing. So let the games begin. I got a bottle of red yeast rice right here. I'm going to be putting this. I'll be in the number one lab rat.
Yeah, interesting. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got a couple things we want to talk about. Most notably, what's going to be discussed in this next interview with Dr. Finkelstein. I want to tell a story about something I did to myself in 2005 that may shed some light on the importance of estrogen in men. We're talking with Rob Regish. This is the Blueprint Power Hour brought to you by the Blueprint and the Blueprint Bulletin. When you sign up for the Blueprint Bulletin, you automatically get the single best training guide out there to date. And that is until Brad Jeffries introduces power building again. The Blueprint. Get the Blueprint 3.0 when you sign up for the Blueprint Bulletin today. Don't waste another minute spinning your wheels in the gym. Get busy and get on the road to Gainesville. We'll be right back.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to the BlueprintBulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
Just like Carl Lenore,
jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. So a little story about estrogen, the importance of estrogen. Back in 2003, I was importing and I was the sole U.S. distributor for a transdermal agent called Flogel Ultra. And anybody who was concerned about jabbing themselves with a needle and or wanted to come up with some sort of unique transdermal blend, if you started with Flogel Ultra, you were pretty much guaranteed to get about 30% of whatever you blended into it, compounded into it, into your body. Well, that is the same time that androstenedione or 6-oxo became all the rage. And I thought, you know, instead of taking 300 milligrams at a time orally and getting 5% of it into my body, why don't I compound it into a transdermal and rub it on my body and deliver 30% of it into my body? Because if a little is good, more is better, right? We want to crush estrogen. We want to squash it because we want high testosterone levels at all costs. And this was the mentality. You remember what I'm talking about, Rob?
I do, but didn't you do this with ATD?
No, I did it with 6-oxo. I did it with I was buying androstenedione in bulk powder from Bulk Nutrition at that point in time. A yellow pro-hormone, if you will, that when applied to the skin smelled very similar to cat urine, by the way. And so that made me very popular in the house. But anyway, so I started to experiment with transdermally delivered aromatase inhibition. And I did this for about 8 or 9 months. And I had blood work done through ZRT Labs for free testosterone. My free testosterone levels were typically 790, where the range was, I think, 50 to 200 on their saliva test for free testosterone. Lo and behold, I'll never forget this. I always put the transdermal on at night before going to bed because that is what you were supposed to do with the oral. That morning I woke up, and I'll never forget it. My youngest daughter was very young and was sleeping in bed with my wife because she was breastfeeding, and I was sleeping in another room. And I woke up, and I remember coming out of my sleep and having the distinct feeling that someone had taken a really, really big vibrator and shoved it inside of me and turned it on high because my entire body was oscillating. I could feel it inside me, my fingers, my hands, and it was real. It wasn't perceived. In fact, it's called subjective tremor. These are tremors that you can't see externally, but they are there and you can feel them internally. I even, when I did this to myself, it was worse than my neck and my head, in my shoulders and my hands and my arms and my legs and my thoracic area. It was throughout my whole body, and it freaked me out. I remember that morning waking up and thinking, oh man, what did you do to yourself now? And so I stopped using the aromatase inhibitor immediately, obviously. But for weeks, I'm talking about weeks, this condition persisted. In and around this time, my sister was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. This is around 2005. So I'm thinking, oh man, what did I do to myself?
I had this test that I used to take my hands and fold them across my chest, put my hands beneath my upper arms and squeeze them against my the inside of my chest area there to assess how bad the tremors were each day and whether or not things I was doing was making it worse or making it better. I talked to Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale at length at this point in time. And when we talked about what I was experiencing and what I was doing with this long-acting, high-dose aromatase inhibition, he said, what you have probably done to yourself, and there's no way to assess this, other than I did see an andrologist, and I was hypogonadal, by the way. He said, what you have effectively done to yourself is what is done during ATD, androgen deprivation therapy for men who undergo prostate cancer. He said, what they do in ADT is they inject you with long-acting gonadotropin-releasing hormones, and your testosterone levels rise, surge ridiculously high for a period of time. And then the pituitary goes, I cannot keep up this pace any longer, and it just fails. And then your testosterone levels plummet because you have no luteinizing hormone being produced any longer. This method of endocrine exhaustion is how they get guys who are undergoing prostate cancer therapy to shut down their testosterone levels effectively to the testosterone levels of a 9-year-old girl. And he said, without actually running some other tests like challenge tests, it seems to me that this is plausible, that this is what you've done to yourself. My blood sugar levels became erratic. I became spontaneously suffered from insomnia. I could not sleep. Anxiety attacks constantly. Hot sweats constantly. And this lasted for months. While my family would go to sleep, I would roam the house like a ghost. I couldn't sleep. I would fall asleep for about an hour. I would wake up in a panic attack, heart pounding, me sweating. And I started to go online and look for these symptoms. I would put my symptoms in: subjective tremor, anxiety, cold and hot body temperature. I would put all these symptoms in, and guess where I ended up all the time, Rob?
No idea.
Menopause websites.
No thought to go to the hospital.
Listen what happened to me one night. This is a true story. I spent a lot of time on the Power Surge website communicating with women who were having the same problem, and then it dawned on me what I had done to myself was I totally crashed my estrogen for so long that my body reacted this way like I was going through menopause. In fact, I said at that point in my life, if men knew what this felt like, if men had to go through this, they would find ways to treat it. But since women go through it and doctors are predominantly men, they don't care about it. It derailed my life. It made it difficult for me to work and support my family. I had to work. I couldn't, take off. But I mean, it was traveling. I would get anxiety attacks. I was prescribed Xanax. I was a wreck. I was a wreck without estrogen in my body. And in fact, I spent so much time on Power Surge website that I made friends with some of these women, and we started discussing the symptoms, and we realized that carbohydrates were my enemy at that point in time because I was having a hard time managing blood sugar levels. The sleeplessness was killing me. That's when I found the Earth Pulse Magnet that actually was the first good night's sleep I had in literally 6 or 7 months. I could not sleep. All of this occurred as a result of disrupting my normal production of estrogen. All of this. See, we as men think that estrogen is a woman's hormone. It's the pox. Oh, we don't want estrogen. We want testosterone. There's nothing further from the truth. In fact, you want more estrogen if you can get it, as long as you don't have side effects from it. Because women develop Parkinson's disease and neurological diseases at a much lower rate than men do until they go through menopause, which shows you the protective effects of estrogen. So it's just an important message to pay. Go ahead, comment, please.
I learned that lesson when ATD hit the market. And you probably remember ATD.
Yeah.
I don't know if that came before or after 6-oxo.
No, it was slightly after. It became very popular right after. Because then we were all searching for stronger and stronger aromatase inhibitors, and that's why I went to transdermal. I thought, well, this is going to be the best of everything.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, stronger and stronger. They found it in ATD. And I remember I remember reaching for the radio in my car just to turn the channel. And I remember my ligaments, you know, feeling like they were about to tear. But the worst was the way it just crushed libido.
Yeah, forget about it. The best time to take ADT is if you were fighting with your wife or your girlfriend and you wanted to be able to hold out because there was no sexual desire whatsoever.
It was crazy. I mean, and it caused a lot of relationship problems for a lot of guys. You know, you lose interest and you don't even look around anymore. And it's probably the first time that's ever happened for a lot of guys. But it's illustrative of what can happen if you squash estrogen levels too far, too much. And that stuff did it.
And it took me a long time to come back from that event. And at that moment in time, I realized that there probably may be a little PD, Parkinson's disease, in my future if I ever let my estrogen levels drop too far. And so as a result of that, I have worked very hard to keep in the higher levels of estrogen for that reason. And so it's a good story to hear. It's also an example of how I always take things too far.
You trumped me there, which is no fault.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know what that says about you.
You have to remember, when I was on the boards back in the day, and some of my posts are still there, Triceptor, especially Mind and Muscle, I coined my name as my screen name as the 250-pound Wistar Rat, because I had done so many stupid things to myself in the pursuit of learning more about what these things could do or not do for you.
That's why doctors hate us. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. But anyway, so the next discussion we're going to have with Dr. Finkelstein, we're going to talk about the importance of estrogen in men. And it should prove to be a very valuable discussion for you guys out there who think that estrogen is not your friend. And don't forget, Adele Moussa pointed out on this show that estrogen actually helps to rid the body of body fat. This notion that estrogen, you know, a lot of guys think, oh, you know, we take aromatase inhibitors, especially pre-competition to help us. It may help you with some water weight, but it does not help you lose body fat suppressing estrogen.
Yeah, you definitely need some.
Yeah. Anyway, Rob Regish, thank you so much for the show today and all your hard work. You can show Rob some love by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad. Sign up for the Blueprint Bulletin. Get the Blueprint 3.0 plus the add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout. Superhuman University seminar. Thanks a lot, Rob.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Take care and see you next week. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we will be joined by Dr. Finkelstein as we start to talk about the importance of estrogen in men. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the Superhuman Nation talk about how much they love Aura MD. Carl and Elisa won't brush with anything else. Now get a free bottle of Aura MD and see what all the excitement's about. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aura MD banner ad today. You cover shipping and we'll give you a free bottle for first-time customers only. What are you waiting for? The best toothpaste alternative is just a click away.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable, but finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today. People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Yeah! Throw your hands in the air right now, man!
Welcome back. You know, nowadays, and I've waited for this period of, in time, you really can't turn the TV on without seeing a commercial about low testosterone levels in men and treatments for such, and I think it's a wonderful thing. We are joined by Dr. Joel Finkelstein, and we are going to be talking about testosterone, estrogen, and other gonadal hormones in men. How you doing, Dr. Finkelstein?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's talk about the study that your group had recently published in the Journal of Medicine. Why did you look at this, first of all?
Well, the study that we published in the New England Journal of Medicine was designed to look at two things. First, it was designed to look at how much testosterone a man has to have in order to prevent changes that are due to low testosterone. So what constitutes an insufficient level of testosterone? And the next question we asked is whether or not that the various features of that are attributed typically to low testosterone are actually due to low estrogen levels, estradiol levels. And to understand why we asked that question, the important thing to understand is that estradiol, which we usually think of as a female hormone, is made from testosterone. That's actually true in both men and in women.
Right.
So you make testosterone, and then most all of the estradiol in men that's circulating is due to the conversion of testosterone into estradiol. so that the more testosterone you have, the higher your estradiol level is. The less testosterone you have, the lower your estradiol level is. So when testosterone levels drop, estradiol levels also drop. So any changes that occur, that could be due to either the low testosterone, the low estradiol levels, or both.
Now we have a unique situation in this population today because of the level of body fat. We know that the aromatase enzyme responsible for converting androgens to estrogen reside in fat cells, and as the population becomes fatter and fatter, this phenomenon of siphoning off testosterone in men, specifically, I mean, it happens in women too, but in men, this phenomenon of siphoning off testosterone and raising estradiol levels, which then creates a negative feedback loop and tells the body, hey, you've got enough testosterone because look at all this excess estradiol we have. This is really a challenge today, is it not?
Well, yes. I mean, it is true that the more fat one has, the more estrogen one aromatizes. And estrogen does come back and feed back to suppress testosterone levels. So there is it's true that if you have people that are really quite obese, they have to be really quite severely obese, they can have low total testosterone levels in the bloodstream. But testosterone circulates in a form that's bound to various carrier proteins, and a very, very small percentage of it, less than 1%, is unbound. And it's generally thought that it's the unbound fraction that's responsible for its actions. And when people are obese, although the total levels change, the unbound levels don't change.
Ah, okay. So let's talk about the study. How many individuals were in the research group?
400 men between the ages of 20 and 50.
And how were they sequestered into different subgroups, and what were the protocols offered to them?
So there were two cohorts of men. The first cohort, the cohorts were healthy men, as I say, between the ages of 20 and 50, who were recruited, and then they were randomly assigned to get they all got a drug called a GnRH agonist. These are drugs that are typically used, for example, in men with prostate cancer, because they temporarily and reversibly suppress testosterone, and of course then also estrogen levels, down to childhood or prepubertal levels, so that it suppresses one's body's endogenous, we call it, levels of testosterone and estradiol. After having suppressed them, we then randomly assign them to either get nothing back, a placebo gel, or testosterone topical gels that had different amounts of testosterone. So we gave different doses to the different groups. And as I say, the men didn't have any choice which group they were in, and they didn't know which group they were in. That was determined at random by a computer. So when, at the end of the day, we have a bunch of groups that have different levels of testosterone gradually increasing from prepubertal up to the upper part of the normal range. There was also one group that got a placebo both for the GnRH agonist and the testosterone gel, so they didn't have their hormones changed at all. That's the first cohort. So you basically have a group of men with different levels of testosterone that we sort of have clamped by the medications that we give, and a control group. The second cohort had the same thing done, except they also got a drug called an aromatase inhibitor that inhibits that enzyme that converts testosterone to estrogen.
Right.
So the different doses of testosterone have the same variation in different levels of testosterone, but all the groups have very low estrogen levels. It's not able to be converted. So by comparing the first cohort to the second cohort, their testosterone levels are matched, but their estrogen levels differ. One can tell what things are due to estrogen and what things are due to testosterone.
And you used a very strong aromatase inhibitor. You used anastrozole or Arimidex, which is just
did,
one
yeah.
milligram can suppress aromatization throughout the entire body.
It's a very effective aromatase inhibitor. It's used, for example, with women as adjuvant therapy for breast cancer.
Right. Okay, so the doses of testosterone were gels. I'm assuming these were 1% gels.
This is a standard gel.
Right.
And we chose the doses to give levels, so it would range from the placebo would be prepubertal, but from sort of below the bottom of the reference range to the bottom of the reference range, to the middle of the reference range, to the top of the reference range.
Right. And obviously, how long did this study last?
It was 16 weeks.
Oh, so it was pretty long. That's really good. So what did you find out?
Well, we found out a couple of important things. First of all, the model worked perfectly. We ended up with groups that had levels of ranging from prepubertal and right in the areas that we wanted them. And it worked out perfectly in that the two cohorts, each group that got the same dose had levels of testosterone that were virtually identical, but their estradiol levels were very different. The first thing we found out by looking at the first cohort was the levels of testosterone needed to support various functions or prevent sort of adverse outcomes of various functions differed depending on what one was looking at. So, for example, fat accumulation, which is known to occur when men have low testosterone levels, that occurred without much drop in the testosterone level at all. Sort of the middle of the reference range is around 500.
Mm-hmm.
And when people got to sort of 300 to 400, they had increases in body fat. But lean mass, such as muscle mass, didn't decline until you got to levels of maybe 150 of testosterone. So they were regulated at different levels.
And we're talking about nanograms a deciliter here, right?
That's nanograms per deciliter. That's the standard unit that we use in the United States.
I mean, because 300 is hypogonadal on most assays. I mean, I think 380 is where the bottom end or the beginning of clinical treatment can apply. These guys were pretty low if they were in the 300 to 400 range.
Well, actually, you sort of accidentally hit on the main purpose of the study. The purpose of the study was essentially one of the purposes to redefine or to define what normal levels really are. So how do we, you said the level is 380 in terms of the lab or 300. How do the labs get determined that that's the normal level? Well, it's actually a convenience definition. They take a large population of men, they measure their levels, and they take the bottom 2.5%, which is of the population, which puts them 2 standard deviations below the mean, and they call them low. No one ever said that 2.5 standard deviations or 2.5% of the population is physiologically low. It's sort of a nonsensical way of defining things. And the best example I can give you is the analogy of how we used to define what was a high cholesterol. We used to say your cholesterol was high, and this is 30 years ago, if it was 2 standard deviations above the mean. And that meant that was a level about 300.
Mm-hmm.
Now when we say that's a whopping cholesterol today, we say that your cholesterol is, if it's high, if it's at a level associated with an increased risk of cardiovascular disease. So we have a functional definition. That's what we're trying to do with testosterone, to get away from this convenience definition that automatically says 2.5% of the population is low, and work towards a definition that looks at the endpoints and say, define testosterone as being low if it's associated with loss of sexual function, loss of bone mass,
right.
loss of muscle mass, etc.
Meaningful stuff, because the reality is, when an individual goes to a doctor and says, you know, I'm presenting with these symptoms, and a lot of these symptoms appear to have a relationship with low testosterone, but that individual then has blood work done, and that individual's 420 nanograms a deciliter, and the physician goes, look, you know, you're in the normal range. They ignore the symptoms that are being presented in turn for an epidemiological number that we don't even know if that's a healthy population that was looked at. These could be individuals, the unhealthiest individuals on the planet, who already are in very, very low levels of testosterone. We're using them as the grading standard, so to speak.
That's true. The reference populations that are done by the commercial labs are not really, sort of, they take all comers.
Right.
And they may have abnormalities of testosterone production in and of themselves.
I want to take a break if we can, please. And
okay,
when we
sure.
come back, I want to talk about the different symptoms, the different levels. This is a really, really good interview. We're talking right now with Dr. Joel Finkelstein. We're talking about testosterone and estrogen in men. Very, very good discussion. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
This is one of those things I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today. The best fat loss patch just got better. Now the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest Bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest Bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Joel Finkelstein. We're talking about testosterone levels and estrogen levels in men. And interesting discussion. So So body fat accumulation started to occur at what levels, did you say?
Probably around 300 to 400 nanograms per deciliter. So, and the men started on average around 500. So your testosterone level didn't have to drop much in order to see an increase in body fat.
What about, did estrogen play a role in the whole body fat scenario as well?
So it turned out that although we initially analyzed it in terms of testosterone levels, when we looked and compared across the groups that got the blocker of estrogen production, i.e. the aromatase inhibitor, versus the group that didn't, we could attribute essentially all of the accumulation of body fat to the decrease in estrogen. And I say that because even at the highest dose of testosterone, where the levels are in the upper part of the reference range, they had the same accumulation of body fat as did the group, if they got that level and they got the aromatase inhibitor, so their estrogen levels were blocked, their body fat went up to the same amount as in all the groups that had low testosterone levels.
See, so, I just mentioned this in preparation for this interview earlier in the show. There's this misunderstanding about the importance of estrogen as it relates to body fat accumulation. Everybody thinks that estrogen causes body fat, but there's a lot of evidence that estrogen actually can help mitigate body fat.
You're absolutely right. And when postmenopausal women, a lot of doctors think that when women go through the menopause transition, that they gain body fat. It's actually not true. For example, in the Women's Health Initiative, the women who were administered estrogen had less increase in, to help prevent increases in body fat. It's true in genetically altered mice. If you knock out the estrogen receptor so that they don't respond to estrogen, if you knock out the aromatase gene, the mice are fat. So it turns out that although we have this preconceived notion that estrogen causes fat, it actually prevents body fat accumulation.
And the same probably could be said about libido, I have a feeling. I know that estrogen plays a role in libido. So what levels of testosterone occurred where men started to lose their libido, and how did estrogen weigh into that?
Well, we found that the typical word on the street is that a person's testosterone level has to drop to be very, very low before libido is affected. And that's not what we found, however. We found that that libido sort of decreased pretty much progressively as one went from the middle of the reference range around 500 down to the prepubertal range, would be sort of like 50. So there was a fairly linear decline in self-reported sex drive and erectile function across from the prepubertal range to the middle of the reference range.
I got to believe that when you lowered estrogen, it got even worse. Or am I wrong?
And that's exactly what happened. When one blocked estrogen production, one had a much worse, or much more severe loss of libido. So estrogen, and it turned out that both estrogen and testosterone contributed or are responsible for sexual function in men. Whereas for fat accumulation, it's almost all estrogen. For lean mass, it's almost all testosterone. For sexual function, it's mixed. And that's also consistent with data from genetically altered mice. Male mice that have even knocked out their estrogen receptor don't display any sexual behavior. In male to female transsexuals, they're a tough population to study, but there's a lot of information in the literature suggesting that if you start them on estrogen when at the time that they lower their testosterone levels, because the estrogen helps maintain sexual function in these men who have gender disorders.
Interesting. And you know, there's the neurologically protective link, estradiol. Can rescue the body from blunt force trauma. We've talked about this on the show in the past. When you receive blunt force trauma in the head, let's say you're in a car accident, there is a receptor on every cell called fibroblast activation factor (FAF), and it interacts with estradiol, and it can suppress inflammation dramatically in an acute situation. And we know that. And we've talked about this on the show over the years, the linkage between neurological diseases and estradiol is very, very clear. In fact, a doctor in Canada did quite a few good rodent studies where they administered MPTP to rats, and then another group and a placebo, saline, and the other group they gave MPTP and estradiol. And the group that got estradiol resisted the development of Parkinsonism for 6 weeks as compared to the other rats succumbed to Parkinsonism within 6 hours. So we know there's a linkage between neurologically protective effects of estradiol and also estradiol's ability to help modulate dopamine neurons of functionality. The actual dopamine neurons, they depend on estrogen to be able to transfer dopamine from synapse to synapse, which would, to me, would speak to why estrogen plays a role in libido. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I don't. I'm interested in why. I'm trying to get to how you connect a possible estrogenic effect on dopamine to libido.
Well, dopamine plays a large role in libido. We know that dopamine and and serotonin also play a large role in orgasm or climax. But mm-hmm. dopamine plays a large role in libido, and estradiol is responsible for dopaminergic effects in dopaminergic neurons. And without estradiol, dopamine can't do its job. And we know that without dopamine, you can't have a libido.
That's all very interesting. I can't say that I'm an expert in that area, but it is true that the enzyme that converts testosterone and estradiol aromatase is expressed in the central nervous system and in all kinds of areas of the brain. And the peripheral circulation and the brain circulation are separate.
Right.
Only certain things can pass and get through into the brain. But one of the suppositions is if all these tissues in the brain have receptors for estrogen and they have the aromatase enzyme, that the local conversion of testosterone to estrogen is probably important for a lot of functions. That could certainly be true for dopaminergic function.
What about blood sugar? Did you look at blood sugar levels at all? Because we know now that testosterone may play a role, and obviously sex steroids in general play a role on management of blood sugar levels.
Yeah, we've done that preliminarily. We haven't done all the formal statistics, but we have looked at that, and it does appear that when you block estrogen production, you impair insulin sensitivity.
Isn't it amazing? You know, estrogen has been treated like the scourge, especially in men. And the reality is that it's so much more important than any of us want to give it credit for. How about well-being? Did you look at well-being and score it at all?
Well, we did. Those data haven't been analyzed yet, the overall sense of, you know, we looked at a number of domains of functional characteristics, including just a global feeling of sense of well-being. Those data have not yet been analyzed. But you are correct in that it's, so far from what we can see, everything that estrogen does in men appears to be good. It prevents fat accumulation. It helps maintain libido. It prevents bone loss. If you get severely estrogen deficient, you have hot flashes. So men who have, what most people don't realize is that men have higher levels of estrogen, actually quite a bit higher than postmenopausal women. Premenopausal women have obviously levels of estrogen that are far beyond those of men. But when women go through the menopause, their levels are like 5 picograms per mil, often maybe less, almost certainly less than 10. Men have levels of 25 to 30.
Right.
So men have higher levels, but when you drop a man's levels to those of postmenopausal women, they get the exact same change as postmenopausal women.
So interestingly enough, leading into this interview, I told a story. Aromatase inhibitors were embraced by the sports industry about a decade ago because they have the ability to raise testosterone levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told a story about how in 2005, after experimenting with transdermally delivered aromatase inhibitor that I compounded myself, I basically did to myself what ADT does to men undergoing prostate cancer therapy, in that I exhausted my ability to produce luteinizing hormone, and I had a complete shutdown. I had to see an andrologist for this. I had a complete shutdown of both testosterone and obviously estrogen as well at that point in time. And I every time I was sick for months, I had insomnia, hot flashes, anxiety. I started gaining body fat. I lost all of my strength. And keep in mind that at the time I was training in a powerlifting fashion. I was a wreck. I was a complete wreck. And so the insomnia would take me up at night while my family slept, and I would be on the internet. And anytime I put all of these symptoms into a search engine, I would inevitably end up at a woman's menopause website. And so I ended up befriending a lot of women going through menopause. And I said, you know, if men went through menopause, we would have found a workaround a long time ago, because as the primary breadwinner, you can't go, hey, I'm going through menopause, I think I won't go to work this week. And it was derailing my life. So I basically effectively gave myself a lot of the symptoms of menopause by using excessive high doses with very, very prolonged delivery curves of very powerful aromatase inhibitors to raise my testosterone levels. And obviously, I was a fool, obviously, but it was an eye-opening event for me to realize how important estrogen was.
You must have been taking very high doses, because if you take a normal man and give them aromatase inhibitor without giving the genotropic analog blocker, the genotropic blocker that we gave, there's a feedback system that will raise testosterone levels, and then that'll overcome to some extent the blockade, so you can't get the estrogen levels as low as you can when you generate blocking. blocking. But if you take enough of it, you can. So you can get high testosterone levels and very low estrogen levels.
I had ridiculously high testosterone levels for a period of time, and then the bottom fell out completely. And I was and I was sick for months. I mean, I had subjective tremor. I mean, it was scary. I was like, holy mackerel, what did I do to myself? Now, luckily, given enough time, the body, and I did see an andrologist, and we talked about this, and he said, you know, you're just going to have to work this out, and we'll just see what happens. And after months, you know, like 6-7 months, my body started to bounce back to normal, and my testosterone levels started to come back to pre-experimentation levels. But it was very scary, and it gave me a lot of respect for estrogen. When I started reading, when I had subjective tremors, and I started reading about the effects of estradiol on neuroprotection, on development of diseases, and so on, I thought, wow, I mean, this is nothing to fool around with. We have to take a break. I've got more questions for you when we come back from the break. We're talking right now with Dr. Joel Finkelstein. We're talking about the importance of testosterone and estrogen in men. It's not all about just testosterone. So please do not misunderstand the message here. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Carl Lenore.
The FDA has exceeded all of its previous levels of being sinister and corrupt by trying to poison this country by forcing us to eat genetically modified foods without knowing they're GMO foods, while trying to obstruct our access to natural foods that are grown right in our hometown.
Empowering the people and telling it like it is.
They're corrupt, they're sinister, they're disgusting. And we're never going to have a politician with any real chutzpah to stop the FDA. That's the sad part. So we have to stop them ourselves. By the pressure has to push back. Keep supporting your family farm.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the Superhuman Nation talk about how much they love Aura MD. Carl and Elisa won't brush with anything else. Now get a free bottle of Aura MD and see what all the excitement's about. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aura MD banner ad today. You cover shipping and we'll give you a free bottle for first-time customers only. What are you waiting for? The best toothpaste alternative is just a click away. Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today. People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. So, Dr. Finkelstein, what about strength? Was strength assessed in this group?
Yes, it was. And strength was changed in the same way. We measured strength in the lower extremities by a leg press. And we also measured the size, the area of the thigh muscles by CAT scanning, by CT scanning.
Right.
And both of those changed in parallel. They changed at, they were preserved until you got to pretty low levels of maybe 150 or lower nanograms per deciliter or lower. So strength, like total body lean mass, was fairly robust until you got to quite low levels.
Okay. There's lots of emerging research, I guess, that is looking at sex hormone binding globulin as not just some innocuous portion of the serum that binds these hormones, but actually playing an active role in transporting them and then even maybe releasing them when they need to be freed up.
Right.
Was there any relationship between sex hormone binding globulin and any of your research groups?
Well, I can tell you what we've done so far. There's sort of two questions embedded there. One is the fact that is a question that challenges the theory that it's just the free portion of testosterone that's biologically active. Testosterone circulates basically in three forms, bound to a protein called sex hormone binding globulin, bound to a protein called albumin, and free. So that about 50% is bound either to the albumin, about 50% is bound to the albumin, about 50% to sex hormone binding globulin, and a very tiny fraction, less than 1%, is free. There's a school of thought that the part that's bound to the albumin is bound fairly weakly, and that it's available, it can be released at the site where it's bound to the receptor. Mm-hmm. It can be released locally, and so that we measure what's called the bioactive form of testosterone.
Right.
That's the free portion and the portion that can be released locally. It turns out that when we looked at our endpoints, we got the same relationships whether or not we measured the free testosterone, the total testosterone, the bioactive testosterone. They all look the same. The other question is whether or not sexual hormone binding globulin has an independent effect just by itself on these various outcomes. We have those data, but we haven't analyzed them yet.
Okay, and so that'll be forthcoming. You've mentioned a couple times in the interview that the reference range for testosterone was 500 nanograms a deciliter.
The middle of the reference.
Okay,
range.
So they were higher. Obviously, there were men there.
Oh,
were much higher.
The upper part of the reference range was around 800, was about 2 standard deviations below the mean. Around 300 was about 2 standard deviations below the mean.
Okay. Were there any differences in any of this research as it related to the age of the participant?
Well, we didn't. This was all a fairly homogeneous age group. It was age 20 to 50. The average age of the population was in their early 30s. We're actually repeating the entire experiment in men who are aged 60 to 75. And that'll take another couple of years, but that's when we'll be able to look to see whether or not age makes a real difference in these relationships.
Did you look at any other things that we haven't covered?
Oh, we looked at a lot of things. Yeah, we looked at blood hematocrit. We looked at PSA.
Oh yeah, good one. Yeah.
PSA is a big question. It turns out that PSA changes very linearly across from as you go from very low levels up to the middle of the reference range. And those changes are all due to testosterone. There's no effect of estrogen on PSA. And importantly, when you get people whose levels are above sort of their sort of starting point, when you raise PSA testosterone levels up to, 800 to 1,000, PSA doesn't go up any further.
Mm.
We looked at lipids. There's a lot of misunderstanding about lipids. That's cholesterol levels, the good cholesterol,
right,
the bad cholesterol. A lot of people think that when you lower testosterone, that the bad cholesterol goes up. What happens is that as you lower testosterone levels, cholesterol called HDL goes up. But testosterone levels have no relationship with LDL or bad cholesterol at all.
Mm.
So LDL is not regulated by testosterone or estrogen. HDL is regulated by testosterone. So it increases when testosterone levels go down. and estrogen blocking estrogen production has no effect on it.
Now, okay, so the group taking anastrozole did not see any changes in blood lipids. Is that what you're saying?
They didn't see, the group that's taking anastrozole did not see any further changes. The changes were all due to the changes
in testosterone,
and that was only affected the HDL level.
That's refreshing, because there has been some, I don't remember if it was a study that I read or a discussion with someone on the show that anastrozole may have some negative effects on blood, on lipid levels because of hepatic issues more than anything else.
We looked at this pretty carefully. Now, if we hadn't had a study that had a control group like we did, it turned out the LDL levels went up a little bit in all groups, including the controls, and went up the same amount. So there's an effect of the study protocol or just time in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's, lots of the studies that have looked at cholesterol levels have not been properly controlled. And without proper controls, you can get the wrong answer in that case.
Yeah, interesting. Was the purpose of this just to kind of create new questions to move forward with more research, or were you looking to determine, hey, look, because obviously testosterone replacement therapy is fast becoming a very, very popular segment within the medical orthodoxy, and it's one of the few prescribed drugs that men welcome, as opposed to, you know, blood pressure meds and so on and so forth. With that being said, are you hoping that this research gives some tools to clinicians to say, look, you don't have to necessarily get guys' testosterone levels up in the 800, 900 nanograms a deciliter range in order to see the benefits of testosterone? Here is a more reasonable place for older men until we understand better what the long-term outcomes are.
Well, we wanted to accomplish a couple of things. First of all, as I said, we wanted to have a physiological definition of what low testosterone levels are. And it turns out that definition depends on what outcome variable you're interested in. It's not one size fits all. It's more complicated than that. We are, you know, right now, as you're right, millions of men are taking testosterone, and the prescriptions for testosterone are increasing very, very rapidly. And I think that's getting way ahead of things. So we wanted to first start out and say, wait a minute, in order to look at this, we need to know who is even a candidate for testosterone. We don't even know. So this study at least helps determine which people, which men would be candidates for testosterone replacement, depending on which outcome variable they're looking at. So if you have a man that's got osteoporosis and his testosterone levels are under maybe 200, he probably is a candidate for, he may well be a candidate for testosterone replacement. Whereas if his level is around 300, at that level we didn't really see any effect on the bone parameters that we looked at. Mm. By the way, yes, we looked at a lot of bone things because they're very important.
Would the testosterone influence a bone mineral uptake, or was it estrogen, or was it both?
But it appeared to be predominantly estrogen, but both of them are important. And so the next question is, what does this mean clinically? Does it affect therapy? Well, we're not going to generally be giving men estrogen replacement, because if they're testosterone deficient and it's an estrogen-mediated variable, we would give them testosterone and let it be converted into estrogen.
Right.
The exception to that, however, is one large group of men. These are the men with prostate cancer who are taking GnRH agonists. There's a lot of interest now in possibly giving these men very low doses of estrogen or estradiol to help prevent some of their side effects, such as some of their loss of libido, the loss of bone and their fat accumulation.
Blood sugar levels issues, that a lot of them become spontaneous diabetic, so maybe it's really the estrogen that they're missing and not the testosterone.
Right. Well, it's a lot of the things are the estrogen they're missing. You can't give those men testosterone because testosterone might make their prostate cancer worse. But you can give them estrogen because it was used to treat prostate cancer. So we could be giving them very low levels, which should be safe in terms of their prostate cancer, but help prevent some of their side effects. The other thing that this is important in has to do with two other things, design of future trials and design of drugs. Right now, people are choosing to design future major randomized controlled trials based on guys whose testosterone levels might be 300 to 350, depending on your reference range. at that level, there's a lot of outcome variables that are unaffected. So you're not likely to see a benefit of testosterone if the levels of your men starting are already too high. So let's say you're looking at bone loss, and you start with the guys who's at the levels 300. They're not losing bone anyway, so giving testosterone back is probably not going to help them. You have to choose the men. You have to choose a level at which they're already that's insufficient for them. The other thing is that there's been for years a large interest by the pharmaceutical industry in designing testosterone variants that cannot be converted into estrogen.
Are we talking about SARMs, or are we talking about actual derivatives of cholesterol-based hormones here?
Both, actually.
Okay.
In the past, it was the latter. It was sort of analogs of testosterone. We call them anabolic steroids. And people were looking for sort of a purely androgenic molecule that didn't have any estrogen-like effects. And when you give those, you lose all the benefits of estrogen. Now there's more recently, as you alluded to, a class of molecules that are sort of non-steroidal molecules that have testosterone-like effects on some tissues and they lack some of the other effects of testosterone. So they might be drugs that have pure muscle-building activity without having sort of causing hair growth. Those SARMs, selective androgen receptor modulators, typically have no estrogen-like activity. And a couple of them have already failed in development. And I think the reason they fail is because having a drug that lacks the estrogen-like component of testosterone is not a good idea.
And you know, my whole beef with SARMs is exactly that. You know, a man is deficient in testosterone, and it's downstream metabolites, which we can't forget about DHT, which we haven't talked about.
Right.
And there's a lot of other things, too. There's 19-NORD testosterone derivatives and so on. And so when you give a guy a SARM, you know, the analogy I use, we talked about SARMs not too long ago, and the analogy I use, have you ever had two keys that looked exactly alike, and they both fit into the lock, but only one unlocked the lock?
That's right.
And when we start fooling around with this kind of molecular mimicry, it bonds to the receptor, and it does this one thing, but most of these hormones are so sophisticated that they have pleiotropic effects, some that haven't even been discovered yet. And we don't know what a SARM may be great for the pharmaceutical industry because they can patent it and they can control it, and it does these six things that we want it to do, but not these other 30 things. Well, there may be 60 other things that we want it to do that we don't know about.
Well, that's certainly true, but even the things that we do know about, people had just innately thought, like you mentioned earlier, for example, that estrogen causes fat accumulation. It actually prevents it. So if you have a drug that does not have estrogen-like activity, one's going to have likely less, more fat accumulation, a decrease in libido, a decrease in bone mass, etc. So SARMs seemed doomed to fail in that regard.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's take our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. We're talking with Dr. Joel Finkelstein. We're talking about the importance of testosterone and estrogen in men. We'll be right back.
He's exposing the man behind the curtain in the organic discussion.
Whole Foods is getting prepared for this onslaught of new customers by finding ways to fool them into buying things that aren't organic, thinking that they are, which is the way they led into the industry. Back in the day when people remember Whole Foods, there were people that are going in there and going, oh, well, this is all organic. I bought it at Whole Foods. And, oh, no. They do sell conventional stuff there. They do? Yeah.
Exposing the myths in our grocery stores.
And then Whole Foods started labeling it more clearly what was organic and what was conventional. But there was a whole period of time where people were buying what they thought was organic when it wasn't. And they were charging more. Whole Foods prices was a conventionally grown produce, similar price to what other stores were selling organic, and that made it even more confusing for the consumer. They thought, well, how could it be? I just paid $3.45 for a pound of apples. That's what that store sells organic. You're telling me I bought conventional apples? Yep, you did.
Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Livon Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to Superhuman Radio .com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. You know, I had to look this up only because of the discussion about prostate cancer and testosterone. In 2009, I had Dr. Paul Godley on the show. He wrote a position paper for the Journal of the American Cancer Society. And the position paper was that androgen levels have nothing to do with prostate cancer. And for some reason, that message never got out there. They found a closer correlation between sex hormone binding globulin and prostate cancer than androgen levels. And they looked at DHEA, they looked at testosterone, they looked at DHT, and they looked at estrogen as well. And so I'm wondering, when are we going to better understand what causes prostate cancer? Because I understand that if we suppress testosterone, there seems to be some benefits in the prostate cancer scenario, but we're also suppressing every single downline metabolite of testosterone as well.
Well, that's true, and right now there doesn't appear to be any real solid evidence that that testosterone causes prostate cancer. It may increase its growth if it's already pre-existing, But there's, you know, this is something that will have to be studied again in a large trial like a Men's Health Initiative.
Yeah. What do you hope that individuals take away from your research, clinicians and lay people?
I hope they take away that that testosterone deficiency is not simply defined based on a level that's arbitrarily chosen for a population, that the physiologically, that different levels of testosterone are required to maintain different functions. So that it's unfortunately more complicated, but one has to look specifically at what the patient's complaints are and look at the levels of testosterone that are relevant to that complaint. And then, of course, I hope they'll take away from the fact that there is actually a syndrome of estrogen deficiency in men. A lot of the things that we attribute to testosterone are actually due to its conversion to estrogen.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean we wouldn't treat them by giving testosterone back and allowing it to supply the estrogen. But estrogen deficiency is responsible for many of the things that are typically attributed to testosterone. And then finally, the question that's sort of vexing if you look at a big picture is why do men make testosterone at all? Why do these things happen with testosterone deficiency in men? And I think that the answer is it has to do with what happens when women become estrogen deficient. I think that the changes that occur in men are essentially the same that occur in women, that they were designed by evolutionarily pressures to be adaptive for various reasons that would take a long discussion to go into. But when men get similarly estrogen deficient, they have the same changes that occur in women. Yeah. But in this case, men are sort of a collateral damage.
Yeah. No, and you know what? I'm a huge proponent of looking at things through the evolutionary perspective. And because when you do that, you realize that the body is doing things for a reason. We look at everything as a disease state. But the body does things for specific reasons, albeit we may not like the reasons. But quite often some of those reasons are, hey, you know, you're coming to the end of your lifespan. We don't want you procreating any longer. You need to clear off the planet. And that's why I'm a huge proponent of maintaining youthful levels of testosterone. I personally keep my testosterone in the very, very high levels. And ironically, my estradiol levels are in the high levels of what is considered acceptable for a man. I think last time I had them checked, they were like 42, 43. I don't remember. Is that picograms, I think, they measure it in?
Picograms, yep.
Yes,
those are pretty high levels.
Well, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm a huge – I have no estrogenic side effects. My testosterone levels are really, really high. So when we looked at the ratios, that's really considered low for the level of testosterone. I have no estrogenic side effects, and I embrace the protective value of estradiol. We know that men develop diseases like Parkinson's disease at a much higher rate than women until women go through menopause. Mm-hmm. So there's some magic there, and I like it, quite frankly. I love estrogen. I mean, not ridiculous amounts, but I like the idea that I have higher levels of estrogen in that higher quartile, quite frankly.
Well, I can say that actually makes sense when you look at the big picture.
Yeah. Listen, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, Dr. Finkelstein.
It's my pleasure.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And also want to thank Rob Regish for the first hour, the Blueprint Power Hour. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today and get on board. We'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening.
He's Carl Lenore.
The brainless people at the FDA need to be convinced that arsenic is not good for humans to consume. Because the FDA feels a little bit more research needs to be done before we're considered that this particular arsenic is dangerous.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.